So this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo, discusses Dave's tefillin. Everyone knows Dave got his new tefillin from Eretz Yisrael today.
Congratulations.
So we'll have to have some more discussion on tefillin.
Kiddush.
That also. You'll have to bring the good wine. So there's an interesting question that came up about between 150 and 200 years ago. The question was, it's a question about a ger, a convert. And we know for a non-Jew to become a Jew, you have to convert. But what does converting mean? So for a woman, it means going to the mikveh. And during the days of the Beis HaMikdash, maybe you brought a carbon also. But today, practically, it's basically going to the mikveh and accepting the mitzvahs, and that's it. For a man, we have the added feature of a bris milah, of a circumcision. If someone, part of the conversion process is you have to have a bris milah. In fact, we had a major shaila here. It goes back a couple of years ago. What was the Italian guy's name? You know what I'm talking
about? Oh, yes.
Yeah, Carmen. Yeah, so the very nice man, Carmen. He was Italian. Well, I'm from Bensonhurst, so, you know, it resonates with me. I was brought up along with Italian, so it's fine. And he wanted to convert. You know, he felt very Jewish, whatever his background was exactly. But he wanted to convert. So, okay, so don't want to and do it. Now, there was one problem, because I think he might have been something, might have been a diabetic. It was some physical issue. The doctor said that it's dangerous to do a circumcision. So he was going, he wanted to do it anyway. He wanted to become a Jew so much, he was willing to do the circumcision. But obviously you're not supposed to. You're putting your life in danger, even if you're a Jew. I'm saying the halacha is that if it's a danger of doing a circumcision, for instance, the Gemara's case is, but it's not limited to this. For sure, if it's a danger and the baby's sick, you don't do it on day 8. You push it off until the baby gets healthy. But let's say there's a family history. Two brothers, let's say they had one son, they did the bris milah, it died. You know, maybe hemophiliac, whatever the case was, and another brother, another son. So the third son, you don't do the bris milah. Meiso achiv machmas milah. If the brothers died because of the circumcision, so he's exempt. He's still Jewish, but he doesn't do his circumcision. The Gemara discusses the Rishonim, maybe to wait till he gets older, maybe stronger. We could discuss having one later on. But for all practical purposes, he doesn't have a bris milah, and he's exempt from one. So if you're born Jewish, it's not an issue. A circumcision is an important mitzvah, but so is Shabbos. In other words, you could still be Jewish without doing a circumcision, especially in a case where the halacha tells you not to do one. So that's a Jew. So the problem is, what about in terms of a non-Jew? If, let's say, he wants to convert, he's willing to do everything else, but he can't do the milah. Could we argue the same thing, that he's just like a child or someone whose brothers died because of milah, he can't have the circumcision? So we did say he's exempt from the milah. What about by a ger? A ger who can't do a circumcision, do we say, okay, that's a major question in the Rishonim, whether you say, whether you say a ger has to do a milah in that scenario. And the question is, that's a discussion in that Gemara over there by a Jew, when the Gemara talks about, Kohen, a Kohen, and he's an Arol. Arol means he's uncircumcised. And one of the halachas for a Kohen eating truma is special food for the Kohanim. Only the Kohanim get to eat it. We support the Kohanim. You know, we take off different tithes and the truma and other things the Kohen eat. So, however, a Kohen to eat truma has to be gemalt, has to need the circumcision. So the question is, regular, all things being equal, this person cannot eat the truma. What happens if he's not having a bris milah, not because of negligence or rebellion, but because his two brothers before him passed away, and the halacha says you can't have a bris milah? What about that Kohen? Can he eat the truma? So that seems to be a dispute between Rashi and Tosfos, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, whether he could eat the truma or not. What's the issue? What's the issue at hand? The issue at hand is, does he have a status of an oral? The halacha is, someone who's an oral, uncircumcised, cannot eat the truma. But the question is, what creates this status of being an Aro? Of being, obviously you're physically uncircumcised, that's a given, but the status of being an Aro, what creates that? Is it the mitzvah of Mila that creates the status of an Aro? Well, no, or this goes bottom line, physically, you don't have a, you might be Nebuch an Aro, I'm not saying it's your fault, but we still classify you as an Aro. So Rashi seems to learn that this person still is an Aro and he can't eat the Truma. And Rabbi Natan says, no, he can eat the Truma because he's not an Aro, because it's the mitzvah of Mila that creates the status of an Aro. You have to be commanded. A woman's not an Aro because she doesn't have the commandment of Mila. So do you view this person who can't have a Mila based on danger and halakha considerations, do we say he's an Aro? He is an Aro? No, he's not an Aro because since he's not committed. That could be the same issue here. How do we view this, you know, how do we view this non-Jew wants to convert? Does he have, is it the mitzvah Mila that creates the status of an Aro? So if it is, then maybe you could argue he doesn't have the mitzvah. That would be the issue, Rabbi Natan. Or one could argue, maybe everyone agrees that he does have the mitzvah. The question is, you know, whether you assume onus is out of his control, yeah?
Well, does it become relevant to ask when does a boy become a Kohen? Does he become a Kohen when he's born, when he's one? Or does he become a Kohen when he is given a circumcision? So if he is a Kohen on day one,
right,
then the status of the circumcision doesn't really have bearing on truth.
No, right, that's an excellent point. So a babe, right, a baby Kohen, I'm talking about an older person, right, you're right, but that's the Yerushalmi and the Gemara, that a baby, you're right, a baby Kohen before day eight can be Sach B'Truma. You know, I don't know if he could even eat Truma,
yeah,
but to talk about anointing with the oil of Truma. So that's useless, because the mitzvah, that gets in also whether the mitzvah of Mila really begins on day one, except we say the baby's not strong enough, so you have to wait till day eight. Well, no, do I say the mitzvah doesn't begin until day eight? You could bring up, you know, we know from a C-section baby, that's the question, that maybe, according to one opinion in the Gemara, a C-section baby you do on day one. That, from that would imply that really the mitzvah mila begins on day one, it's only for other reasons that you can't do it. But that's part of the discussion. So what the Yushami discusses, so everyone agrees, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 during the day, that's fine. You could sach with oral. And once it comes to day eight, then you can. The Yerushalmi raises the question, what about the night of day eight, which in Judaism is the day before? So the question, since you can't do the mitzvah mila yet, so that ties into this question, how do we view the night of day eight, not day nine, is do we view him as the obligation being there, is it suspended until the morning? Or no, the mitzvah doesn't begin until day eight. That's it's all part of the discussion. So that's the issue. So halacha l'maisa, Rav Chaim Elitz, others assume it's a problematic. We do not accept a Gentile who cannot do him, even if he wants to, and it's not his fault. Nevertheless, we assume mila is an intrinsic part of the gayrus process, and without the mila, it's a no-go. You have a question? Yeah.
Yes. When does, actually a two-part question, when does the halacha start? With the Torah being given at Sinai for the Jews after that point, or does it go before that? Because if I remember correctly, in Genesis, it says the part about circumcision that nobody can go to with God if they're not circumcised. So with that, how does that, the halacha seems to contradict the written Torah part in Genesis.
What's the contradiction?
It's,
what do you mean?
It talks about from my memory, it talks, Hashem spoke to Abraham,
right,
and said that you have to be circumcised.
Right.
And anybody who is not circumcised is not part of the Jewish. But now if it's written in the written Torah about that one has to be circumcised. Now I'm hearing about the halakha, that there's exceptions that Jews, that people can become convert to Jews that are not circumcised.
I said someone who converts to Jew, I'm saying is we assume you have to have a circumcision.
Right, right.
Absolutely. Right, without the circumcision. I said, a Jew who doesn't have a circumcision is still a Jew. But for what we're establishing, and that, the mitzvah milah plays two roles. If the mitzvah milah means one thing to a born Jew,
right,
and the mitzvah milah is a different mitzvah for a non-Jew who wants to convert. They're not, they don't necessarily have the same parameters in terms of when they apply. But your first question is a good point. I'm going to get to that right now. When exactly? He's right. The mitzvah milah was given to Avraham. Yet we know from the Rambam in Perish HaMishnayis, and we assume this way, that the only reason I have to do a milah today, and none of this may mean anyone, is because it was given to Moses at Mount Sinai. Nothing to do with Abraham's just the history and the philosophy. But if it doesn't, if it wasn't given on Har Sinai, I don't have to do it. So that's true. So I'm going to get to that point right now. So the question is like this. So a non-Jew, so you do the milah first, and then you do the tefillah. That's how it normally works. And then you become Jewish. You know, as you go into the mikvah, you do the acceptance of mitzvahs and all that. So the question is like this. Someone did the milah, let's assume whenever it was during the week, and for whatever reason, it's not healed properly, where it's a danger to go into the mikvah. You can't go and get any water, infection, this and that. So the doctors say, the Moses, you have to wait, you can't go until after Shabbos. There's a famous story about 150 years ago from a Ger Tzedek, a person who was, he lived in Yerushalayim, he had the whole garb, the bekasha, you know, looked like a chassid. You know, obviously he was studying, he was waiting for this day a long time. He shows up in Shul Shabbos with his bekasha, his fresh talis. It would be his tefillin, but it was Shabbos. And he's all excited. I'm sure he had a lot of kavana, probably more than we have. And then the rabbi of the shul comes over, Rav Asher Lemel, and says, what are you doing? What are you putting on a talis? You're not even, forget about it, you're not even chayiv in davening and tal, you're not Jewish yet. You didn't do the tefillah. You know, his tefillah was going to do on Sunday or Monday. He says, you got to go. In fact, not only what you're doing is wrong, but you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to keep Shabbos because a non-Jew can't keep Shabbos. It's a special gift for the Jews. And he had to go ahead. He had him write some words or letters so he could desecrate the Shabbos. And then this person, I guess word gets out of this big incident. So the Beis Din in charge of Gerim, the Beis Din in charge of converts in Jerusalem, hears about it and says, what are you doing? What are you doing writing? You have to keep Shabbos. Welcome to Judaism for this guy, for this Jew or non-Jew, depending on what our conclusion will be. But Rav Asher Lemel, who was a big rav in Jerusalem, he said, what was the case? It's a ger shamol v'lo tavo. He was circumcised, but he didn't do immersion yet in the mikvah. Rav Asher Lemel said, you're not Jewish. You have to go machal Shabbos, desecrate the Shabbos, and the Beis Din Jerusalem, who does Gerus, says, I know the halacha, but nevertheless, the minig is, you keep Shabbos. Someone, a guy, a ger, who did the milah and began the circumcision process, began the Gerus process, he keeps Shabbos. There's a big machlokas, a big fight broke out among the rabbanim, so they decided to send a letter to the Binyan Tzion, which is a tremendous lesson. He was a big rabbi in Germany. Imagine all the Gedolim in Jerusalem sending the question to one of the Gedolim in Germany. It tells you about what type of stature this person must have had. So the Binyan, he was Rav Shimshon Wolfersh Hirsch's Rebbe, I believe. The Binyan Tzion. And he wrote back, he said, you're right, it's true the Gemara says, Ger Shamol Velo Tavo Ki Lomo. A Ger that does Mila and not immersion, it's like he didn't do anything. Nevertheless, he writes, the minig is that the ger should keep Shabbos. Why? What's it based on? It's based on this point, because it goes, he says, the Binyan Tzion says, why? Because perhaps it goes back to this week's parsha. What happened during these parshias? That we know the Torah wasn't given until Yisro. So the Jews, we know the Jews kept Shabbos in Mara. We have a tradition that the Jews kept Shabbos, kept some mitzvahs in between from they left Egypt to they got the Torah at Har Sinai. And in fact, we know they did a circumcision because they had to eat the Karban Pesach. So we see already the halacha is we see from the Jews in Mitzrayim that they were mol below tavo, and yes, they were involved in the Karban Pesach. So we see that we see from here that someone, a non-Jew who is circumcised but didn't immerse yet, he does keep the Shabbos. That was his conclusion. And what's the pshat? Because Mila, that makes you into a quasi-Jew. In other words, it takes you out of the status of a non-Jew. And the Tevila, that culminates the process. The Tevila, so basically, you do the Mila, you level the playing field. You're no longer a non-Jew, you're like a quasi-status. And when you do the Tevila, when you do the immersion, that completes the process. So that's what the Binyan Siyan said, that someone who has a Mila, a non-Jew who does the Mila, not the Tevila, but the Mila takes him out of his status, and therefore takes him out of his status of being an Aro, and therefore he could go ahead and he has to keep Shabbos. And with this we can understand many different apparent contradictions in the different Gemaras. In other words, Rav Naftali Grenad in his Sefer on Ksuvos, he says, what's the definition of a Jew? When we say, what is a Jew? So, what he says is there are two aspects to being a Jew. What he coins, Yichus Yisrael, Yichus from, the person has Yichus from his parents, a biological, his mother was Jewish. That's Yichus Yisrael, or a Ger Tzedek, someone who converted and are completely Jewish now. That's Yichus Yisrael, that's one aspect. And then there's Kedusha Yisrael. Kedusha Yisrael is someone who takes on the observance of the commandments. So there's two parts to being a Jew. One is, you could have a Yichus, that's, the lower level is Yichus Yisrael, you're born into the fold, so you're Jewish. And then there's the second aspect of Kedusha Yisrael, taking on the acceptance of mitzvahs. And therefore he says, we find an apparent contradiction in the Gemara. In the Gemara Kiddushin, it talks about Esav, Yaakov's brother, as a Yisrael Mumer, a Jewish apostate, a big negative, but they call him Jewish. The Gemara in Sanhedrin seems to call him a guy, a non-Jew. So which one is it? So it depends on what we're talking about. You have to know the context. If we're talking in context of Yichus Yisrael, well, he's born, his mother, he's from Yaakov Avinu and the Imo, so he's Jewish. But in terms of Kedusha Yisrael, he didn't keep anything, so therefore the Gemara views him as a non-Jew. In fact, that's what the whole discussion of the 10 lost tribes that went into Golas and never came back. It's a whole discussion in the Gemara, I think Rabbi Akiva, maybe Rabbi Elezer, what is the status, whatever happened to the 10 tribes? And, did they lose them? So that's a whole discussion in the Gemara. Did they, they went and just intermarried, whatever, not intermarried, or they assimilated into society, no one even knows where they are. So let's assume you found one, that's what the Machlokas is about. How do you view a Jew who has Yichus Yisrael, but doesn't have Kedusha Yisrael? So does he lose the status of being a Jew or not, in terms of treating him? In fact, even so, could you ask him to do Balacha for you on Shabbos? Could you use him as a Shabbos guy? They go so far in discussing that Shiloh. But that's a further discussion, but the point being, it's based on these two components. Yichus Yisrael, the genetic. So obviously we assume, we're familiar with the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yisrael, Apa Pishachata Yisrael, a Jew, even if he sins, no matter how far they fall, they're always a Jew. That's the standard, and probably the true thing, no matter, it's a discussion if he joins another religion and that, whether he loses his status or not, that's a separate discussion. But that's the issue is, a Jew, how do you view a Jew who has Yichus Yisrael, but doesn't have Kedushas? So in fact, there's an interesting Gemara based on this week's Parsha as well. The Gemara has a pasuk. What about a ger, shamol velo tavo, a ger that did circumcision, but he didn't do immersion, and he wants, could he eat the Karban Pesach? Could a non-Jew who is mol, you need a mila, even a Jew, to eat the Karban Pesach, you have to have a mila. A Jew doesn't have a mila, can't eat the Karban Pesach either. So a ger shamol velo tavo, so the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, there's a the Rashba tells us that we learn out from a pasuk to exclude that a ger, a convert or a would-be convert that did circumcision but not immersion cannot eat the Karban Pesach. The question is, what do I need a pasuk for? If we said mol v'lo tavol, someone who only did circumcision and not immersion is not a Jew. So what do I need a pasuk? Because what is the source? Karban Pesach. The Jews in Mitzrayim were exactly it, mol v'lo tavol. So I might have thought, just like the Jews in Mitzrayim were able to partake of the Karban Pesach, even though mol v'lo tavol was before Matan Torah, so I might think even a convert, Kamash Malan, the pasuk comes to tell me no. And that's why I need a pasuk, because I would have thought, based on we learned that from the Jews in Mitzrayim. And in fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky elaborates on what's the Musa, what's the lesson of this? What is the lesson of this, that a ger shamol b'lo tavo, he cannot partake of the Karban Pesach? So, we know, Pesach, Passover, is the national birthday of the Jewish people. It's what he calls Chag L'umi U'medini. It's our national holiday. It's the birth of the Jewish nation. So I might think that what? That someone who has national pride, national Eretz Yisrael, have pride in the state of Israel or in Israel, that would be enough to be considered an Israeli. It is an important thing. But I might think someone who just has the national pride, that's enough. Kamash Malan, to be considered part of Chayisel, it's not enough to have the national pride, but you need Kedusha. So that's what the Pasuk comes to tell me. Ager Shamol V'lo Tavo is Ki'ilo Lo Mo. And that's what happened. The Jews, when they were guards, when they took off Hoshea ben Ela, when he removed the guards, and he let the Jews go to Jerusalem, they didn't go. Because Jews are lucky if you're happy with Jerusalem not being the capital of Israel. You want to finish? You'll have your chance, don't worry. Today we have a very nationalistic fervor, and I'm not putting it down, it's great to have. But nationalistic without Kedushas Yisrael, you're lacking for a Jew. You're still Jewish, but you're lacking. But you can't even partake of the Karban Pesach, which is our national celebration, because it's not enough to be for a Jew to celebrate. You can't separate the two. You have to have it together with Kedushas Yisrael. In fact, and that's why they point out, today we're very, ethnic pride is in. Let's say when Lieberman was running for vice president, it's very nice. We like to have a Jewish politician, a nice a Jewish football player. We find pride in that. A Jewish baseball player. The Sandy Koufax. And that hits home because number one is Sandy, they say, I'm probably not true, but they say he davened in my shul in Bensonhurst. He went to Lafayette High School, which is right near where I live. So they say, rumor has that he actually came on Yom Kippur to the shul. I don't know if it's true or not, but we'll keep it as the rumor. So not only did Sandy Koufax play for a team that rejected Brooklyn, the LA Dodgers, they moved from Brooklyn to LA, they rejected Brooklyn, my hometown, but he also rejected Kedushas Yisrael. He wasn't observant. In other words, it's nice to have, the national pride, but we all like having Sandy Koufax. It's nice to have the top pitcher being a Jewish pitcher, why not? Or having a lot of Nobel Prize winners. But that's what the pasuk is telling. It's not enough just to be nationalistic. It's not enough just to have Yichas Yisrael, but you have to have Kedushas Yisrael. And to be dedicated to the cause, you don't have to keep every mitzvah. A person can still do aveiros like we all do and still be dedicated to the cause. I'll give you a nice mushel I heard. And especially if you're a married man, you'll appreciate it, but everyone can. So this person was going, a friend of mine told me this story. He used to go swimming every morning in Brooklyn, and there's he knew where the guy lived. It must have been a 15, 20 minute walk, it was like 6 in the morning, and I'd say it was a half an hour swim. And the last couple of minutes, the guy said, I wanted to get you out early so you could close up shop. And this person stood around and sat around outside the pool for like for 28 minutes. And then like the last minute, he used to like go into the pool. And the guy said, Harry, whatever his name was, what's going on with you? He always said, better late than never. He said, yeah, but you're a never. You're showing up. And so this person, it was always strange. Like he couldn't understand this guy. Like he asked him, wow, you know, like what are you coming here for? So finally he got the answer. In the locker room changed. He says, well, why are you like coming? You come in like it's going on for like a couple of months. So he got the scoop. He said, you know what? He said, my wife wants me. She's been nagging me, telling me I have to go swimming every day. It's healthy and it's important. I just hate swimming. I can't stand swimming. But now I understand why you have to go in for 2 minutes. If your bathing suit's not smelling from chlorine, she'll be on to you. So what he did is every day he was going on, you know, maybe continues for years. He went in just so the question is, so we had a discussion. Is this person an unfaithful husband? Is he a lying husband? So first I should say, yeah, well, his wife thinks he's going swimming and he's not. You're right, but that's true. But on a deeper level, this person is the most dedicated husband in the world. Like, I'd never do that. You can't waste my an hour a day making believe I go swimming. He did it all for his wife. You know, we know no one listens to the wife all the time, or no wives listen to the husbands all the time. Doesn't mean you're not dedicated to your wife or your spouse. This person's very dedicated, but you don't always listen over, you know, you can't, there's a point of contention on these issues. So he was very dedicated. He was going so much, 6 o'clock in the morning he'd wake up. But you could be dedicated to a cause, but still not keep her. A person doesn't have to keep every mitzvah to be dedicated. You don't have an appreciation for Kedusha, so you could be not there yet. You appreciate people having that. You don't necessarily have to keep everything yourself. And in fact, that's what he told me. They were having a spelling bee in school, and the teacher, who was a married man, said to spell the word marriage to, I guess, a 10-year-old kid. So the kid said, M-I-R-A-G-E. Mirage. He said, you got that right, pal. So he marked him right on the test. But you don't necessarily have to listen to everything, but you have to be dedicated to the spouse, you know, and you'll have your differences. And we have to learn to take pride, not just in the ethnic. It's good to take pride in the Sandy Koufax and the politicians, but that's not enough. We have to take pride from the Kedusha Yisrael. And I'll conclude with the story I always like saying over. That was the issue with the 10 Shvatim. Where they lost the status of Jews because they totally assimilated. So there was a story with the Indian chief who passed away. Actually, I heard a different story. Indian chief who his wife passed away. I guess he was Jewish, but she wasn't. And then later on, he wanted to become firm, and he was like putting on his film with his Indian chief outfit on. But either way, so his Indian chief passed away, and who takes over? An Indian chief passes away. Who gets the job? So the son. The problem was the son wasn't living on the reservation. He was at a university somewhere, but the job paid well. You're in control of the funds. He said, okay, I'll come back. He convinced him, he came back. Okay, so he's sitting here with his outfit on, and they come to him, chief, it's August time. We have to know, what's the winter going to be like? How cold is it going to be? Because we have to know, we have to start collecting the wood for the winter. He thinks, wait a sec, let me put on my hat. He goes and says, yeah, it's going to be a cold winter. Yeah, start gathering the wood. After they leave, he runs over to the phone and calls up the weather bureau or maybe he Googles it. And he said, what's the story with the winter? Yeah, it's going to be a regular cold winter. Okay, good. They come back to him again next week. We have to know, you know, do we need more wood? Is this enough? He doesn't have a clue. Yeah, definitely we need some more wood. So he quickly runs back and he calls them up on the phone, the weather bureau, and says, what's the, any update on, yeah, it's going to be colder than we thought. Oh, he says, thank God I told them to do more wood. And now what happened was, and so they came back to him again, yeah, you know, more wood. And he figures, next time I'll just call them first. So he calls up the national weather, he says, what's the story, any more update on the, yeah, it's going to be the coldest winter ever in 50 years. So he starts wondering, he says, by the way, how do you know how cold the winter is going to be? He said, you should see those Indians. They're gathering wood like crazy. Who's following who is the question. And that's the issue. We've got to take pride not only in Yichus Yisrael, but in Kedusha Yisrael. Penny, it's your turn.